الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, Dars al-Quran will be imparted in the English language. All brothers are requested to participate. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahdah was-salatu was-salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ وَلَوْلَا كَلِمَةُ الْفَصْلِ لَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَإِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ تَرَى الظَّالِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا وَهُوَ وَاقِعٌ بِهِمْ والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات في روضات الجنات لهم ما يشاءون عند ربهم ذلك هو الفضل الكبير ذلك الذي يبشر الله عباده الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى وَمَنْ يَقْتَرِفْ حَسَنَةً نَزِدْ لَهُ فِيهَا حُسْنًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ صدق الله مولانا العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ اللَّهُمَّ انْفَعْنَا بِمَا عَلَّمْتَنَا وَعَلِّمْنَا مَا يَنفَعُنَا وَزِدْنَا عِلْمًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته أم لهم شركاء شرعوا لهم من الدين ما لم يأذن به الله Or do they have partners who have ordained for them such things in deen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not permitted? Meaning that do the mushrikeen do things that contradict the teachings of deen because they have partners of Allah who have ordained and who have laid down for them such things in deen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not permitted. This is a rhetorical question from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those who ascribe partners with Him. And the purpose of a rhetorical question is to reprimand somebody. The whole purpose of a rhetorical question is not that you answer, whether it's your father, whether it's a teacher, when they want to reprimand you, then one way to reprimand is that you use this phrase, a rhetorical question. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also here brings this rhetorical question to reprimand the mushrikeen. That do the mushrikeen do things that contradict the teachings of deen because they have other deities who have ordained for them such things in deen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not permitted? And obviously the answer is that no, that this is not the case. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further mentions, وَلَوْلَا كَلِمَةُ الْفَصْلِ لَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ If it were not for a decisive decree, the matter would have been decided between them if it were not for a decisive decree, the matter would have been decided between them. This is a very similar verse to one of the verses which was discussed in the previous lesson also, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that if it were not for a decisive decree. So the decisive decree is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decided when He is going to punish the mushrikeen, when He is going to punish those who do not believe in Him. So Allah ta'ala is saying that because of this decisive decree, that I have already fixed that their time of punishment is either going to be towards the very ending of their life, or that they are not going to be punished in this world, they are going to be punished in the hereafter. So this is the decisive decree of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is saying that this question could arise in the mind of a person, that this particular individual, he is disobeying Allah, he is not even believing in Allah. And on top of this, he is being a thorn in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the believers. Yet, nothing evil is happening to him. No punishment is descending upon him. So whenever this is the case, we shouldn't think to ourselves that maybe this person is on the right, maybe what he is doing is fine, maybe Allah Ta'ala is happy with him. He seems to have all the good in the world. Allah Ta'ala is saying, no, it's not like this. There's a decree which has been decided that this person will be punished, but he's going to be punished in the hereafter. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that if it was not for a decisive decree, the matter would have been decided between them. Meaning that they would have already perished by now. But because I have decided to punish them at a later time, this is why, despite doing so much wrong, they still have not had to taste the punishment. And as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works, the manner in which He works with the believers or with the human beings at large, is that you have one group of individuals who are so wretched that Allah Ta'ala decides to not let them taste any punishment in this world. So in the initial stages, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them opportunities. During the time of the prophets, it's the prophet who will propagate to them. In our times, scholars, ulama, other believers who have a concern for deen, they will propagate. And they receive message upon message upon message with regards to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, living your life as a good believer, as a good Muslim. But they just continue to increase in their stubbornness. One is that individual that due to laziness, he is not practicing upon deen. Due to negligence, he is not practicing upon deen. Although this is also not an excuse. But you get the other type that they have in them this extreme mischievous nature. Their pride and their arrogance. That why should we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why should we accept Islam? So this pride and this arrogance, it leads to a stage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He seals their hearts. After giving them multiple opportunities, this doesn't happen in the initial stages. They are given multiple opportunities to repent from the evil ways. But they don't take any of these opportunities. And a time comes when Allah Ta'ala says, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala seals their hearts. وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ. And Allah Ta'ala places a seal upon the ears. وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala places a veil in front of the eyes. Now, no matter how effective the propagation is, that speech will not be able to penetrate this heart. When the truth is being said, it won't enter these ears. And with their eyes, they will not be able to see what the haqq and what the truth is. They will be blinded from the truth. So this group of individuals, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He punishes them in this way, which nobody even realizes that they are being punished. The individual himself is being punished greatly because he is never going to be able to now accept the truth, but he doesn't even realize. He is enjoying his big mansion, he is enjoying his nice car, he is enjoying his money, he is enjoying his food, he is enjoying his health. And he's looking at those people who are practicing upon the deen and thinking to himself that look at these individuals, they have nothing in life. And I've got everything. So he remains in this deception. He remains in this deception. So Allah Ta'ala says regarding such individuals that وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Those who disbelieve in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, they should never think to themselves that Allah Ta'ala giving them respite is good for them. Innama numli lahum liyazdadu ithma. We only give such people respite so that they may increase in their sins. So they'll continue to increase, continue to disobeying Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. With this in mind, that we're not doing anything wrong, because if we were doing something wrong, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala would have definitely sent down His punishment upon us by now. And they disobey Allah Ta'ala so much, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And for such people, there is a disgraceful punishment, which they will face in the hereafter. So this is the most wretched group of individuals. And we should ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to save us from being from such individuals, from such a group. Thereafter you have a second group who are also those who disobey Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And they taste some amount of punishment in this world, but very little. And again, for them, the majority of punishment has been reserved for the hereafter. But the third group, who are the mu'minun, those who believe in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. As far as the believers are concerned, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala deals with the believers in such a way that Allah Ta'ala's mercy upon those who believe in Him is so much that whatever punishment Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala wants to give them due to their disobedience, Allah Ta'ala decides that I will punish them in this world so that there is no punishment remaining for them in the hereafter. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in one hadith, مَا يُصِيبُ الْمُسْلِمُ مِنْ نَصَبٍ. That no fatigue, no tiredness afflicts a Muslim. وَلَا وَصَبٍ. And no disease. وَلَا هَمِّنْ أَنْ نَوْ سَرُوْ وَلَا حُزْنٍ أَنْ نَوْ سَنَّسْ وَلَا أَذَنْ نَوْ هَرْتْ وَلَا غَمٍّ أَنْ نَوْ دِسْرَسْ حَتَّى الشَّوْكَةِ يُشَاكُهَا. To this extent that a thorn pricks him. إِلَّا كَفَّرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ خَطَايَهُ. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to any of these difficulties which he faces, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all of his sins. So the sins that we have committed, because every human will commit sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّى. Every human being will commit sins. So we will commit sins. But to ensure that these sins are forgiven in this very world, so that we don't have to face the punishment for these sins in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts us with these small difficulties. And as a result of these small difficulties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives our sins. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ قَالْ, that Allah ta'ala himself says, that when I test one of my servants with his two eyes, in other words, he becomes blind. So the eyesight, this is a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person is able to see with his eyes. But there are certain individuals whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not grant them the ability to see. And this not being able to see, this can also work in both ways. An individual could look at this from a positive aspect, that because I am unable to see, I will never commit any sins with my eyes. But on the flip side, those who are able to see, which is the majority, when they have the opportunity to commit a sin, if they were to control their eyes, then upon this sacrifice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate their spiritual status. But obviously, having the ability to see is a bonus or is a advantage which the blind do not possess. There is so much you can do if you can see in comparison to those who cannot see. When Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi was in his infancy, he was blind. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi could not see. So his mother used to wake up at the time of tahajjud and she would make dua that, O Allah, grant my son the ability to see, restore his eyesight. And this dua of hers was finally accepted, due to which he was then able to see, and thereafter he became the great individual who the ummah remembers him for now. And there are also individuals who, due to having some sort of deficiency, they did not let this deficiency become a means of them excelling as far as deen was concerned. For example, a great imam in the field of tajweed, in the field of qira'ah, whose name is Allama Shatibi rahimahullahu ta'ala. Allama Shatibi rahmatullahi alayhi. He was also blind. He was a blind imam. But he excelled in piety to this extent that it was his practice that when he would enter the classroom, he would say, "Man ja'a awwalan falyaqra." Whichever student came first, he should start to read. So students would come to him and read the Quran. So whoever came first, he would get the opportunity to read first. Thereafter the second student, thereafter the third student. One day he walks into the class and he says, "Man jaa thaniyan fal yaqra." Whoever came second, he should read. So the student who was sat first, he's now thinking to himself that why has today the teacher told the second student to read first? And everybody was perplexed in the classroom. That he always tells the first student to read first. And this is the first time he said, whoever came second, they should read first. So the student who was sat first, he thought very deeply that something, I must have done something wrong. So when he pondered, he realized that he was in need of a fard ghusl, a compulsory bath. So Allama Shatibi rahmatullahi alayhi, who was a blind imam or a blind teacher, when he walked into the classroom without knowing anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divinely inspired him with this, that this first student is in need of ghusl, he cannot read the Quran right now. So these were great individuals, despite being blind, look at his level. So anyway, in this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when I test one of my servants with his eyes, the actual hadith is that bihabibatayhi, with his two beloved things. So the two beloved things means the two eyes. So I test him. I take away his eyesight. Now he is no longer able to see. Fasabara, but he endures sabr, he endures patience upon this. He endures patience upon being blind. Then what's the reward? Awadduhu minhuma al-jannah. I shall compensate him for them with Jannah, with paradise. So whatever difficulty we go through in life, if we just endure sabr and patience upon this, the reward is Jannah. The reward is Jannah. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma was once sat with one of his extremely prominent students, Atta bin Abi Rabah rahimahullahu ta'ala. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma said to his student that Ala urika imra'atan min ahlil jannah. Shall I not show you a woman who is from the people of paradise? This was a time when they actually had people from paradise who were still walking on the face of this earth. You know, what a golden era it must have been, that you could point to someone and say that with guarantee I can tell you that this person is from the people of Jannah. And thereafter, he said to Atta bin Abi Rabah, that hadhihi imra'atun sawda. You see this woman here who is of dark complexion, of African origin. أتت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. On one occasion she came to Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم and she said to Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم that I suffer from epilepsy, from fits. And when I have these fits, they are so severe that my clothing also is removed from my body and my body becomes exposed. So make dua for me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her that in shi'ti sabarti walaki al-jannah wa in shi'ti da'autu Allah fa'u'afiq. He said that if you wish, I'll make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cure you. You will no longer suffer from this. But if you wish, continue to endure patience, and the result is that you will get Jannah. So she said that, well, in that case, I will continue to endure patience. But when I have these fits, they are so severe that my body becomes exposed. So make dua to Allah Ta'ala that the fits continue, but not to that extent that my body becomes exposed. This was her haya and her modesty. Which again is a lesson for our mothers and sisters, that these women, even during illnesses, even during the illness, they were so cautious with regards to their haya and their modesty that their body should not become exposed in front of strange people. And then we have our women of this era who intentionally want to expose their body in front of strangers. Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha, when somebody asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that what is the most honorable thing that you can give to a girl, to a female, to your daughter, to a woman. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that instead of me answering this question, why don't you ask the queen of the women of paradise? Fatima, Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah. That Fatima radiallahu anha, she is the leader of all the women of paradise. So what did Fatima radiallahu anha say? That the most precious thing that you can give to a woman is that the father, he makes such arrangements for her daughter, for his daughter, that throughout her life, she does not look at any strange man, and no strange man ever looks at her. And Fatima radiallahu anha, this was not just something which she uttered with her tongue. This is something which she strongly believed in. This is why Asma bint Umays radiallahu anha, she says that after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, once Fatima radiallahu anha, she came to me and she said that I want you to promise me that when I pass away, arrangements for my funeral will be made in such a way that when my body is being taken towards my grave, then no part of the body is exposed. And what she meant is that usually when the coffin is being taken towards the grave, then you will have seen in the Arab countries that they run with the body and it's placed upon a piece of wood. Now, obviously, the body won't be exposed because it's been covered inside the cloth. But the cloth with which that body has been covered, sometimes a little bit may just fly up. So you may be able to get a glance of some part of the shape of that coffin, not the actual body. So Asma bint Umays radiallahu anha said that when I migrated to Abyssinia, the first migration which took place from Makkatul Mukarramah to Abyssinia, in Abyssinia we saw that they would make the coffin in such a way and cover it in such a way that there would be no possibility of the cloth moving and you being able to see what's inside the cloth. So upon this, Fatima radiallahu anha smiled when she was informed that there is this option that when I pass away, then this is how my coffin will be prepared. So there is no way anybody will be able to see anything. And Asma bint Umays radiallahu anha says that after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, we never saw Fatima radiallahu anha smile except for this occasion. Meaning this was something which made her extremely happy. And on the day of Qiyamah, when it will be the turn for Fatima radiallahu anha to come forward, then an announcement will be made that all the men are instructed to lower their gazes because Fatima is going to come forward. And she is that woman that even in the world no strange man glanced at her and looked at her. And even today on the day of Qiyamah, no strange man will look at her. So I was mentioning about that woman who, she also had this concern that I have these fits, but I don't want them to be so severe that my body becomes exposed. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that even for her is Jannah and paradise if she was to endure patience upon this illness of hers. So the point being made is that there are two types of people. There are those who will be punished in this world, but there will be no punishment for them in the hereafter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدِهِ خَيْرًا, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes goodness for one of His servants, عَجَّلَ لَهُ الْأُقُوبَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hastens His punishment in this very world. So Allah ta'ala gives him the punishment in this very world. Now there's no punishment for him in the hereafter. وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدِهِ الشَّرَّ أَمْسَكَ عَنْهُ بِذَنْبِهِ حَتَّى يُوَافِيَ بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes evil for a person, then Allah ta'ala withholds his sin from him until he meets it on the day of Qiyamah. And in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives an example of a believer and a hypocrite. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ, the example of the believer, كَالْخَامَةِ مِنَ الزَّرْعِ, is like a fresh, tender plant. تُفَيِّئُهَا مَرَّةً وَتَعْدِلُهَا مَرَّةً. تُفَيِّئُهَا الْرِيحُ مَرَّةً, the wind, when the wind comes, then the wind sometimes bends it and sometimes makes it straight. So you have this tender plant, and whenever it's windy, the plant sometimes goes to the side, sometimes it comes back up, sometimes it goes to this side, sometimes it comes back up again. What does this mean? This means that a believer, whenever he is afflicted by calamities, he will fall, then he will get up again. He will fall, he will get up again. But the example of the munafiq, وَمَثَلُ الْمُنَافِقِ, the example of the hypocrite, كَالْأَرْزَةِ, is like a pine tree. لَا تَزَالُ حَتَّى يَكُونَ إِنْجِعَافُهَا مَرَّةً وَاحِدَةً, which keeps straight. So no matter how strong the wind is, the pine tree remains straight. Uproot, it stays straight. It doesn't move. It doesn't go to the right. It doesn't go to the left. Completely straight. But حَتَّى يَكُونَ إِنْجِعَافُهَا مَرَّةً وَاحِدَةً, till once it is uprooted suddenly. Suddenly a time comes when the wind is so strong and the entire tree is uprooted. So the hypocrite, he doesn't realize that all these small calamities which are coming towards me, they are actually wake-up calls. So he doesn't repent, he doesn't change his ways, when suddenly a severe punishment comes and now there is no time to repent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَوْلَا كَلِمَةُ الْفَصْلِ لَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ. If it were not for a decisive decree, the matter would have been decided between them. وَإِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. There shall certainly be an excruciating, painful punishment for the oppressors, the sinners in the Akhirah. تَرَى الظَّالِمِينَ. In the Akhirah, in the hereafter, you will see the oppressors, the kuffar, the disbelievers, the sinners. مِمَّا كَسَبُوا وَهُوَ وَاقِعٌ بِهِمْ. Fearing the punishment for what actions and beliefs they earned in the world. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فِي رَوْضَاتِ الْجَنَّاتِ. Whereas, it, meaning the punishment, will certainly befall them. However, those who have iman and do righteous deeds will be in the gardens of Jannat. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns his attention towards the believers. That those who bring iman, after bringing iman, they do good deeds, for them, fi rawdatil jannat, they will be in the gardens of Jannat. Rawdat here is plural. And the Mufassirin mentioned that the reason it's plural is because Jannah will not be just one garden. There will be many gardens. Each person will have his own Jannah. Each person will have his own garden. And thereafter, there won't be only one level in Jannah. Rather, there will be multiple levels. And then in each level, there will be multiple levels. So it's possible that a person is in the highest level, but even in the highest level, there will be different levels in which the most high level is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the plural to show us that in Jannah, there will be many different levels. And there are certain ahadith from which we can substantiate this also. For example, when Rabi'a bin Ka'b al-Aslami radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he himself says that I spent a night with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And during that night, when I saw that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to now be in need of the water to perform ablution, to perform wudu, so I filled up some water and I brought this water to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and I presented it before him. And likewise, whatever other needs he had at that time, I made sure that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has everything that he needs. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw that this companion of mine, Rabi'a bin Ka'b al-Aslami, has served me in this way, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam became extremely happy. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that sal, that ask, meaning ask for whatever you want. Now just to mention here one point, that one way in which we can gain something which normally would be impossible to gain is by earning the du'as of our parents or the du'as of the pious. One is you make du'a yourself. So we have been instructed in the Qur'an to make du'a. So we should all make du'a. Whatever needs we have, we should ask Allah Ta'ala for those needs. Number two is you request for du'a. So we should also request others for du'a. We should request the seniors for du'a also, and we should request the juniors for du'a also. When Umar radiallahu anhu was going to perform Umrah, and he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that I desire to perform Umrah, So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, yes, go and perform Umrah. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Ashrikni fi du'aika ya ukhayya. O my young brother, include us in your du'as also. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is requesting Umar radiallahu anhu to make du'a, then why do we feel that we can't request someone to make du'a? No, we should request others to make du'a for us also. But that does not mean that you just continue requesting people to make du'a and you never make du'a yourself. There's a fine line here. We have to make du'a ourselves also and we have to request others to make du'a also. But there is a third type of du'a, which is when you earn a du'a. And it's the du'as that are earned which will strike magic in your life. The du'as that are earned. The du'as that are earned. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he would also serve the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So on one occasion, after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relieved himself, when he came out, he saw there was water there. Now Ibn Abbas must have done this on many occasions. So you serve someone once, twice, three times, four times. On this occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked that, who put this water here? So he was informed it was Ibn Abbas. So from the heart the dua came out. Allahumma allimhu al-kitab. Oh Allah, grant him the knowledge of the Quran. That dua made Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma the leading commentator of the Quran. Imagine 124,000 sahaba. So in an institute of 124,000 students, to be given the title and the accolade of being the leading commentator of the Quran, that's not something that you can achieve yourself. That has to be earned. And it was earned. This dua was earned by doing the khidmah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The du'as that are earned. For the young ones, I'll mention one incident. This is earning the dua of a teacher or a pious person. Earning the dua of a parent. Musa alayhi salatu was salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, I want to know who is going to be my companion in Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied that your companion in Jannah is going to be the local butcher. Now Musa alayhi salatu was salam was surprised that the local butcher, and I am the prophet of Allah ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam went to him and he said that today I want to come home with you. He goes home because he wanted to observe that what's special about this person. So he makes Musa alayhi salam sit in one room and he goes to the back and he prepares the food and thereafter he begins to chew the food like how you feed a baby and he begins to feed his mother one morsel at a time. And after he finishes feeding his mother says something to him in his ear. Thereafter, he prepares the meal for Musa alayhi salam and he brings the food and he says, please consume the food. Musa alayhi salam says, I am not going to eat a single morsel until you tell me about what's happened. So he said, this is my mother and daily after I come home from work, I prepare the food. She is very old, disabled, so I feed her. The Musa alayhi salam says, what did she say in your ear? He doesn't know this is Musa alayhi salam. So he says that she said in my ear, she says this every day after I feed her, that, oh Allah, this son of mine is very obedient, very dutiful. He looks after me, he feeds me. Oh Allah, when he passes away, make him the companion of the prophet of our time, Musa alayhi salam. But where am I and where is the prophet Musa? How will I be his companion? Musa alayhi salam said, your mother's dua has been accepted in this very world. These are duas that are earned. And how are duas earned? Khidmah. What's khidmah? When you serve somebody. You serve somebody to this extent that they become so happy with you that dua comes out from their heart. That's the difference between a dua you request. You request a dua, you tell your father, make dua for me. And one is you behave in such a way that the dua comes out from the heart. So even here, Rabi'a bin Ka'b al-Aslami radiallahu anhu, he served the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became so happy with him that he said, Sal, ask for whatever you want. Now it was a golden opportunity. So Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, As'aluka murafaqataka fil jannah. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I ask of you to be your companion in paradise. I want to be in that same place where you are in Jannah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Awa ghayra dhalik, is there anything besides that? So he said, Huwa dhak. That's it, that's the only thing I want. Nothing else. So the muhaddithin mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Awa ghayra dhalik. Now those who understand Arabic here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Dhalik. And Rabi'a replied, Huwa dhak. Now dhalika and dhaka, they both mean that. But there's a difference. You say dhalika when something is extremely far. If you want to say that and it's very far, you will say dhalika. And if you want to say that and it's not so far, it's close, then you'll just say dhak. So dhak is that, but it's close. And dhalika is when it's far. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Awa ghayra dhalika, is there anything else besides that? Meaning what you are asking for is very, very far. It's very, very difficult. You know, I'm the Prophet of Allah and you're a companion. How can the both of us be in the same level in Jannah? So you're asking for something extremely difficult, something which is very far. So this companion replied, Huwa dhak. That all I'm asking for is that. And that meaning something which is very close. Meaning that even I know it's very far, but if you were to make dua, then Allah Ta'ala will make it easy. So upon this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, فَأَعِنِّي عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. Well then, I will make dua for you, but you will have to assist me by excessive sajda and prostrations. Meaning you will have to perform a lot of namaz and do a lot of ibadah. Through that excessive ibadah and my duas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you that stage in Jannah. And on another occasion when a companion came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said that, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this world, whenever we are distressed, then we come and sit in front of you. And as soon as we sit in front of you, we feel so much peace, so much tranquility, so much ease. And all our stress is placed to one side. We forget about all the sorrows and the griefs of the world. But in Jannah, you will be in a different stage and we will be in a different stage. And we will want to visit you. We will want to see you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied. He remained silent. So in order to console this companion, Allah Ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam with a verse of the Quran. In which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ, that person who obeys Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, such people will be with those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored. And who are they? مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ, the prophets. وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. In other words, if you obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala will make you with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. And in a verse of the Quran, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانِ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. Talking about the different stages, we are talking about the different stages in Jannah. So Allah Ta'ala says that in Jannah, you may get that the child was more pious in comparison to the parents, or the parents were more pious in comparison to the children. The piety is not going to be on the same level. Husband may be more in comparison to the wife, or the wife may be more in comparison to the husband. Now in Jannah, each person will be in a different stage. So it's possible that the children are in a lower stage and the parents are in a higher stage. Now the children will desire that we want to be with our parents. Now if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished, what He could have done is He could have said that if you want to be with your parents, then I will bring your parents down to your level. But Allah Ta'ala will not do this. Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانِ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. Those who are on the lower level, when they will desire that we are with our relatives and our family members who are on the higher level, Allah Ta'ala will not bring them down. Allah Ta'ala will bring those who are down up and join them with them. So, فِي رَوْضَاتِ الْجَنَّاتِ, in the gardens of Jannat, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, they shall have whatever they desire with their Rabb. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ, this is definitely a great favor. ذَلِكَ الَّذِي يُبَشِّرُ اللَّهُ إِبَادَهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, this, meaning the news of entry into Jannah, is the good news, the glad tidings that Allah Ta'ala conveys to those servants of His who have iman and who do good deeds. Now over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Jannah, and suddenly Allah Ta'ala interjects here and changes the theme. And Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ أَوْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, say, لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا, I ask of you no repayment. إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى, except the love between relatives that you ought to show me regardless of the message I carry to you. إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى, except the love between relatives. So Allah Ta'ala is talking about Jannah. Prior to this, Allah Ta'ala was addressing the mushrikeen. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala talks about Jannah. And suddenly, Allah Ta'ala brings this one statement here before He continues with the topic of Jannah. So the Mufassirin mention here that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with so much concern, he was propagating to the mushrikeen and the kuffar of Makkatul Mukarramah, of Madinatul Munawwara, the Arabs. But they were not listening. And they were just increasing in their arrogance, in their pride, in their stubbornness. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was the cry of his heart. And one thing which was pricking him was that these people, they are the Arabs, they are the Quraysh, they are from those same tribes which I belong to. They are related to me. But because a prophet is independent, a prophet will never go to somebody and say that, you are my uncle, at least listen to what I have to say. So Allah Ta'ala Himself revealed the verse to convey that message which was in the heart of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, due to his status, himself could not say. Allah Ta'ala Himself revealed the verse of the Quran. And Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ أَوْ نَبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you say to them, لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا, I am not asking for any repayment. It's not that if you become a Muslim, then you'll have to give me money. No, there's no repayment. The real right that I have over you is that I am the Prophet and you are a ummati. So you should be accepting my message. This is the actual right I have over you, that I am the Prophet. But if you are not even willing to accept this, then the final point is that we are related to one another. And it's part of culture that when someone is related to you, then you listen to them. Amongst the Arabs especially, they would listen to those people that were related to them. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to them, that Abu Jahl, you are my uncle. Abu Lahab, you are my uncle. The rest of you are part of the Quraysh tribe. Yet when I read the Quran, you yourselves block your ears. You tell other people, لا تسمعوا لهذا القرآن. Don't listen to the Quran. وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ Start making noises, start whistling. Disturb him, disturb others. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told by Allah, tell them you are relatives. When you are relatives, the least you could do is at least listen to what I have to say. And after that, if you still cannot accept, and if you have a question in your mind, then sit down and let's discuss. Why are you causing false propaganda? So this deep concern, this deep cry which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals a verse of the Quran. And thereafter Allah ta'ala continues with the topic of Jannah, that وَمَنْ يَقْتَرِفْ حَسَنَةً نَزِدْ لَهُ فِيهَا حُسْنًا. We will increase the beauty, meaning the virtue of the deed, by granting a reward for it that is far superior to the deed itself. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. For Allah is surely the most forgiving, the most appreciative. Time's done. I will conclude very shortly. وَمَنْ يَقْتَرِفْ حَسَنَةً نَزِدْ لَهُ فِيهَا حُسْنًا. We will increase the virtue of the good deed. One way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the deed, the minimum is مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ أَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. You carry out one good deed, as a result Allah ta'ala gives you in return 10. Even regarding recitation of the Quran, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ قَرَى حَرْفًا مِّن كِتَابِ اللَّهِ فَلَهُ حَسَنَةً وَالْحَسَنَةً بِأَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. For every letter you read, you get the reward of 10 rewards for every letter. So whenever you do one good deed, you get the reward of carrying out 10 good deeds. Thereafter, we find that depending on your intention, depending on the effort that you've exerted for that good deed, Allah ta'ala will increase the reward to 700 times. And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِلَىٰ أَذْعَافٍ كَثِيرًا. That even more than 700, only Allah ta'ala knows how much more He will increase. So you should never think to yourself that I'm carrying out a good deed, what am I going to get here? No, depending on your intention and depending on how much sacrifice you've made. For example, if 10 people came for the dars, each person will have made a different sacrifice. So each person will be rewarded according to the sacrifice he made. The greater the sacrifice, the more the reward. So the reward will be increased. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith mentions, مَنْ تَصَدَّقَ بِعَدْلِ تَمْرَةٍ. That a person gives charity equivalent to a part of a date. What does Allah ta'ala do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He accepts this with His right hand. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nurtures it. And He nurtures it just as you nurture one of your young animals. حَتَّى تَكُونَ مِثْلَ الْجَبَلِ. Until on the day of Qiyamah, when you will see the reward, that one date you gave in charity, the reward will be equivalent to an entire mountain. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards a person far more greater than the action he did. And finally, Allah ta'ala is all forgiving. The wrongs that you have committed, Allah ta'ala will forgive your sins. Sincerely repent to Allah ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala is shakur. He is extremely appreciative for the deeds you do. So never think to yourself, it's just a small deed. What am I going to get? No, what you will get, Allah ta'ala is extremely appreciative. How appreciative? That a male is thirsty. He drinks the water. He sees a dog. And he thinks to himself, this dog is also thirsty. Let me give water to this dog. He gives water to this dog. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَشَكَرَ Allah. Allah ta'ala appreciated this one action. And this person who had lived his life full of sin, Allah ta'ala appreciates this one action of quenching the thirst of a dog, and Allah ta'ala gives him Jannah. And in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person is walking and he sees a branch. So he thinks to himself that this one branch, if someone walks past, they may be cause inconvenience. So let me move this branch from the path. فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah ta'ala appreciated this one action. And because of this one action of moving a branch from the road, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him entry into Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all the ability to understand these verses of the Qur'an, to appreciate the Qur'an, and to give us the ability to practice upon whatever lessons have been derived. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to continue benefiting from the Qur'an until we breathe our last. And just as we gather in these gatherings in this world, may Allah ta'ala also gather us all in Jannatul Firdaus with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر